So my research was focused on postpartum dysgalactia syndrome. So what we did was we just went into a commercial system, and then our goal was to identify sows as they developed symptoms for this condition, and we collected blood samples from these animals at right after farrowing, but then also at presentation of clinical symptoms. So our goals were just to see if we could determine if there were markers in the blood, like inflammatory markers, metabolites, or analytes that, or what things are already changing at that, first day after farrowing that could potentially be used for detection of this condition later on in lactation.
We want to thank the innovative companies and products whose support and trust make this podcast possible.
Fortiva, creating ingredients for impact to support animal resilience and health. Learn more at FortivaImpact.com. Keys Manufacturing is America's number one source for cheese meal and dairy powders for your feed. Check us out at KeysManufacturing.com. Kemen invites you to optimize swine health and nutrition. Dive in at Kemen.com/swine. DietForge.ai, AI-powered feed formulation with non-linear ingredient modeling and real-time collaboration. Finally, modern software for modern nutritionists. Uniferon 200 from Pharmacosmos, the iron dextrin for baby pigs, which promotes faster growth.
Welcome to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt Podcast, the latest swine nutrition research digested for you. I'm your host, Clayton Chastain, and today we welcome Dr. Jamie Studer, a postdoctoral research associate at Iowa State University. So Jamie, before we get started, would you mind giving the audience a brief introduction about yourself?
Yeah, sure. And thanks so much for having me on. So for a little bit of my background, my current position is a postdoctoral research associate at Iowa State University, and I'm within Dr. Jason Ross's research group, which is focused on reproductive physiology in swine. And I recently graduated with my PhD in December, and my dissertation research focuses on disorders affecting sows during the kind of around that transition period or during late gestation and then also into lactation. So I've done some work on pelvic organ prolapse, but then the main portion of my work is on postpartum dysgalactia syndrome and lactation disorders in swine. So since I focus so much on lactation, I also a big component of my work was also understanding the metabolic adaptations during lactation.
Gotcha. Yeah. So, I mean, you summarized it pretty well there because that was kind of what I want to talk about. Because a lot of that work that you did see is oftentimes in production. They just typically, you feed a gestation diet, you treat them as if they're in gestation, they move into lactation, then you treat them like you're in lactation. They don't really handle it, at least on a nutritional side, either as a transitional period. It's just, two separate periods. But you have some more experience in that period and kind of understanding the sow and the physiological changes that accompany with it. Better than most. So I guess to start us off, could you just give us a little bit more background into what all that research entailed?
So my research was focused on postpartum dysgalactia syndrome. So what we did was we just went into a commercial system, and then our goal was to identify sows as they developed symptoms for this condition, and we collected blood samples from these animals at right after farrowing, but then also at presentation of clinical symptoms. So our goals were just to see if we could determine if there were markers in the blood, like inflammatory markers, metabolites, or analytes that, or what things are already changing at that, first day after farrowing that could potentially be used for detection of this condition later on in lactation.
Have you considered adding cheese to your feed? Let us help. Keys Manufacturing is a family-owned and operated business, conveniently located in central Illinois. We have been producing Pro 88 cheese powder since 1997. Pro 88 is a high-quality source of protein and milk fat. Our cheese powder is research-proven to contribute to a smooth transition in early weaning pigs, being highly palatable, increasing feed intake, as well as delivering easily digestible nutrients. Check us out at keysmanufacturing.com for more information and links to our research. We look forward to helping you maximize your feed.
So then also when looking at that transition period for the sows and looking at it in regards to like mortality and longevity and kind of its importance there, how big of a role does it play in that field?
Yeah, so the transition period is super important in regard to sow productivity because there's a lot of substantial metabolic as well as hormonal changes that are occurring as the sow approaches farrowing and then obviously into lactation. And there's reorganization of nutrient partitioning in order to prioritize energy for milk production instead of, you know, gestation, which was the previous main function. It's also really important for sow longevity or for sow mortality because a substantial proportion of mortality occurs in this like very short period. So there's some data showing that between 30 to 40% of sow mortality occurs in that short window from like 6 days before farrowing to 3 days after. And then also some recent work from Dr. Chris Rademacher's group also showed that 65% of sow mortality occurred in their study from gestation day 110 through the end of the lactation period. So although it's such a short short time frame in the reproductive cycle of a sow, it encompasses a huge proportion of mortality.
Gotcha. And you also mentioned earlier about some lactation disorders that can occur. Specifically, one of the ones that you mentioned was postpartum dysgalactia syndrome. So what is that exactly? And why is that not more talked about within the swine industry?
Yeah, so postpartum dysgalactia syndrome is characterized by just insufficient production of colostrum in milk starting in that early days of lactation. And this condition causes major financial losses due to loss of productivity in the piglets. So increased pre-weaned mortality and lower weaning weights. And these piglets can also be compromised in growth during the post-weaning phase as well. But then another consequence of this is often premature removal of sows from the herd due to poor litter performance. So,
gotcha. And then what factors would you say contribute to that to postpartum dysgalactia syndrome or PDS? And kind of what have you learned from your own research in that regard in terms of the cause?
Yeah, so there's been a lot of factors that have been kind of proposed to contribute to this condition. Some of the main ones would be genetics and body condition of modern sows. So modern sows are, you know, hyperprolific. They have this these larger litters, but then they also have increased carcass leanness, which could reduce the availability of back fat as an energy source during lactation. And then there's also another component is immune activation is believed to play a central role. So infiltration of pathogens at epithelial barriers or at mucosal tissue sites. So this would be like the gastrointestinal tract, things like, you know, leaky gut or the mammary gland with mastitis or the urogenital tract with uterine infections such as metritis or endometritis or a urinary tract infection. And then another component is the involvement of stress, because obviously this period is a stressful period in the lifetime of a sow. There's a lot of metabolic and hormonal changes occurring as well as environmental changes, and stress and also metabolic stress can disrupt the integrity of these epithelial barriers, as well as, you know, the interplay between immune signals like cytokines and things like that. And then also these hormones and the neuroendocrine response can cause partitioning of nutrients to different resources.
Gotcha. And lastly, when looking at some of the sow's metabolic adaptations and nutrient partitioning during that transition period from late gestation to lactation, why is that not well understood or not really regarded much in the swine industry?
There is some work that's, you know, done to try to understand these metabolic adaptations. But when you think of the dairy industry, you know, they have a really good understanding of, you know, what's happening and when it's happening and the temporal changes in different hormones and also energetically important metabolites like glucose or non-esterified fatty acids. And this is because obviously in the dairy industry, they can easily measure milk production. And in sows, measuring milk yield is just really difficult.
Gotcha.
You know, some people will try to extrapolate what's learned from the dairy industry into, you know, sows, because it does seem like it would be the same thing. You know, we have the transition period and you would think like, you know, milk production is increasing dramatically. So they're going to go into negative energy balance like right away. And there's just a lot of differences between this, between sows and dairy cows, especially in regard to lactation curves. So in sows, their milk production is kind of increasing gradually just due to the gastrointestinal system of the piglets. Another complexity with postpartum dysgalactia syndrome is just that there have been many names used to describe problems with lactation failure or reduced milk production during lactation throughout the literature. So one of these terms would be mastitis metritis agalactia, or MMA. And this was the main term used prior to PDS. And this syndrome is, MMA is just a little confusing because it's kind of more describing when mastitis is the central symptom, but then metritis or endometritis is not always involved. And then also agalactia is not as common as reduced milk production or hypogalactia. So then that added a lot of confusion in regard to MMA. So they've kind of switched to considering MMA like a subcategory of PDS, and then adapted PDS as the kind of the all-encompassing syndrome.
All right, well, I believe that's all the time we have. So thank you again, Jamie, for being a guest on today's show.
Thank you.
Yep, and to everyone else, thank you for listening to the Swine Nutrition Black Belt podcast. Please visit us at swinenutritionblackbelt.com, and don't forget to subscribe to our podcast channel so you won't miss out on the next episode. See you next week.